we were listening to Brother Bourne preaching about, I think it was Solomon, and I wanted to expound a little bit on something I heard there. And that is, the title of the message would be, "What Do You Want to Hear?" And had a little fun with Kim back there, because she wanted a title to the message, and I said, "Well, what do you want to hear, you know?" what do you want to hear? As I said, we were, yesterday we were up at my parents' house, and yesterday morning, we got up early so that we could leave, and my dad was sitting in his chair where he can watch the radar in his study, and also listen to the NOAA broadcast on the radio right there in the kitchen. And he said, "Well, it looks like you know, it's going to be pretty good traveling. You know, it's going to be fair way all the way through." Well, that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that. we weren't too far outside of Chattanooga. It started to rain, and it rained the whole way. So, Dad, you were not correct in that. It's what I wanted to hear, but that's not what was going to happen. We had to drive in the rain most of the way. So when it comes to the physical things in life, we all want to hear good news. Or we want to hear things that people say about us, like, "Oh, it looks like you've been working out, or your diet's doing pretty good," which I haven't heard that from anybody recently. But we want to hear good things. We want to hear good news about money, about your family, about our security, about our health. We don't like getting a negative report, especially on your health, from any of those things. It's not what you want to hear. But much more importantly, what do you want to hear spiritually? What is your answer to that? What do you want to hear spiritually? Well, your first answer, our first answer should be and would be the truth. The truth. The truth? Well, what about the truth? What about the truth? First scripture that we have to look at is John chapter 18. Now, this is something that I gave to Kim to put out there on the as a scripture, but it's just the first scripture that I'm going to come to in this message tonight. John chapter 18 and verse 37 and 38. Jesus being before Pilate, and Pilate questioning him. This is on leading on towards the crucifixion of Jesus. But in John 18, 37 and 38, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now that's an interesting thing to say. That's an interesting thing that Jesus said there. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all." Would have been good if Pilate would have just stuck to that. But he said, what did he say? He said, "What is truth? What is truth?" And I can just see Pilate there, like many people today. They would say, "What is truth?" You may ask yourself. You may say, "Well, what is truth? What is the truth?" There is so many lies in this world and so much deception to people, especially involving spiritual things, and it's all from Satan. Remember, he likes to clone the truth but not exactly. He likes to mimic the things of God, but not quite. In order to fool people and to bring falsehood into the religion that they worship with, or they think that they worship with. Look over in John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. We want to talk about the truth. What is the truth? Jesus saith unto him, talking to Thomas, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Another profound statement by Jesus. You are not going to come to God except through Christ. Through the truth. You can't come through a falsehood. You know, if you're practicing some religion and there is something and you know that there's something wrong with it, you can't come to the Lord except through the truth. We'll get to that in a little bit. We all know that verse. What does it mean? What does it mean when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life? That means, and we're talking about the truth, the other would be a different message, but the truth, it means that everything that Jesus said, everything he did, and everything he taught is truth. So to teach men anything opposed to that is untruth. It's a lie. Well, that narrows down a lot of stuff. But there's an astounding amount of deception and doctrines of devils being proclaimed as message from God today. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And going on, it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. That's the next. Well, we know some places that forbid to marry. But the doctrines of devils. What happened here? In the latter days, it says. What does it say? In the latter days? Are we in the latter days? I think we are. We're in the latter days. This is it. This is now. But they departed from the faith and found something that they wanted to hear. What did they want to hear? They wanted to hear things that made them feel good. They did not want to hear the doctrines that God teaches in His Word. They did not want to hear what God's men have to say. Now, God's men, God's preachers, the ones that are burdened with bringing the Word of God to the people, well, you got a big responsibility to do that and to do it properly, to not shy away from the truth. If there is sin that needs to be preached against, it needs to be preached against, and don't tiptoe around that. But it pleased them, it pleased the flesh, and that's what we don't see throughout the Bible, and we're going to get to a couple instances here about that, God's Word is not about pleasing the flesh, because in the flesh there is no good thing. Now, most all so-called religions will tell you they preach and teach the truth, right? I mean, most of them are going to claim that here's the truth over here. We got the truth. But if you do a little bit of digging, a little bit of studying, you're going to find out that a lot of the things that they preach and teach don't line up with God's Word. And I was going to say that at the outset of this, is that God's Word is the end all. It's the the judging book for all things religious. And therefore, if there's things that don't add up to what's in God's Word, it's not right. And you can rule it out. So if you do just a little studying for yourself, you'll find a lot of problems, big problems, with their doctrine. This was one of them. But will people do that study? Will they study and dig into the Word for themselves? Would you dig for truth? Would you look for it? What about the truth about ourselves? That all human beings are under the curse of sin, that we are wicked, and the best that we can do to do right is diseased. That's a heavy statement, but that's what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 64. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64, 6. This is where man is. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I was noticing a leaf the other day. I think I was up at Mom and Dad's, and it was a leaf that had fallen some time ago, and all the green was gone, and then all the brown was gone. All that was left was the skeleton of the leaf. It was like a very wispy thing. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This talks about our righteousness. You know, when you're talking about things that you would look to somebody like, well, I don't know what, Mother Teresa, or someone who you very much admire, who has given their whole life to helping others. And you would think, well, that person is just really very righteous. They're a person to look up to and everything. But according to this, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's only one righteousness that God recognizes and that God accepts in payment for our sins and for the transgressions that we have done, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only His righteousness exceeds and is acceptable before God. But that is the truth. If you want to dig for truth, there's a truth about ourselves right there. What about the truth about a holy God, who will only accept perfection to stand in His presence? You want to stand in God's presence? There's got to be perfection to obtain eternal life. Over in Matthew, let's look over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 says, can we do it? Can we do this? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can you be perfect? Are any of you perfect? Am I perfect? We're not, but that is our command. Who spoke that? In my Bible, this is in red letters. That means Jesus spoke these words. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, how can you be perfect? You can only be perfect through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Look over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of your life, all manner of your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are any of you holy? Am I holy? Do you want to be holy? But that is the truth about a holy God. And see, I think a lot of times in a lot of churches, so-called, in a lot of religions, so-called, holy God is not preached anymore. There ought to be a more than a holy reverence for God. There ought to be a fear of God. And I don't think that men are preaching the God that we see in the Bible. I don't know what they're preaching. But if it's not the God of the Bible, then they're not preaching the truth. So what about that truth? God commands us to be holy, commands us to be perfect. What about the truth about Jesus? That no one comes to the Father except through Him. He is that perfection. He is that holiness that God expects and accepts. Those are two hard words to say together. There are many false teachings, especially concerning Jesus, even beginning with His birth and all the way through to His death and His resurrection. Why? Why is there a lot of false teaching about Jesus? Well, let's just take His birth first. He was born of a virgin. Why is that important? Well, you need to dig and find out. There, that's important because it has to do with a lot of the scriptures being fulfilled down through through the Bible. And he could not have had an earthly father. But there are some sects of religions that say that he did, but he did not have an earthly father. He was born of a virgin. God is his father. So why is there truth about that? There's truth about that. Jesus also lived a sinless life. Again, why is that important? And he didn't live just a sinless life. If you think about it, Jesus lived a life that pleased the Father. Adam, before he sinned, lived a sinless life before he sinned. But he did not. He was not like Jesus as far as Jesus was God incarnate. And so when he said, "I do always those things which please the Father," Adam certainly can't say that. I mean, Adam sinned, but you see what I'm saying. Jesus did more than just live a sinless life. He lived a life that pleased. He was pleasing to the Father. We saw that when a voice from heaven came down, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So he did more than just live a sinless life. He pleased God. He did things that pleased God. So there's truth about that. And Jesus was betrayed and crucified according to the scriptures. The truth concerning that. What about the truth that Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights? This is from God's word. This is from this Bible. How can you get that wrong? But they do. It is false teaching to deny the doctrines found plainly in God's word. And that's what we mean when we say a doctrine. What is the doctrine concerning the gospel? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But see, if you're teaching something that's... How do you get from Friday to Sunday 3 days and three nights? If that's... It's not just bad math. That's false teaching. Period. That's not according to God's word. So we have the truth concerning these things, and there are plenty more. There is plenty more truth in God's word concerning different things, concerning the church, concerning the ordinances of the church, the doctrines of salvation, the doctrine and the prophecies of end times and things. And there's a lot of people that get a lot of that stuff mixed up. We find the truth from God's word on all subjects. So this is the truth. So when we're going back to the question, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the truth or something else? So why are there so many that believe fairy tales and things made up by men instead of the very Word of God. We're close over here to 2 Timothy. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 through 4. It says, Paul speaking here, he wrote this to Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. We don't see a lot of reproving and rebuking anymore, do we? Do we see that? No, people want people to be at ease and come to church. You know, you don't see a lot of reproving and rebuking sin. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it's here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Heap to themselves. That means there's going to be plenty of them around. They'll heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, lies, deceptions. This time is here. It's now. And people's ears are itching. What do they want to hear? You know what? The truth will never tickle your ears. Think about that. Our flesh does not want the truth. It fights against the very things of God. And I think that this also speaks of Christians. You know, because the natural man, the people that are of the world, that are only involved with and doing the things of the world, they're not concerned with the things of God at all. So I believe this speaks to Christians. What kind of a day do we live in when people turn away from the truth and want to hear fables instead? Now, let's go back. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 13 through 23, okay? 1 Samuel 15, 13 through 23. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Just a little background here, I think you all know this story. Saul went out to fight with the battle with the Amalekites, and Saul being Israel's first king, and here he is coming back from the battle of the Amalekites, and things didn't go all according to plan here. But let's read it. Verse 14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay. It seems like Saul was just going to answer him and then walk away. He said, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, Notice that Saul understood that they should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul thought he had done the will of the Lord. Really? Or did he? I think he knew better. He really didn't want Samuel. You know, I thought Samuel and Saul were kind of close as you read through the Bible. And he certainly didn't want to have to disappoint Samuel. And he even argued with Samuel about what he was supposed to do and began to blame others for his failed lack of leadership. And it was his responsibility. It was Saul that could have said to them, "No, don't take these sheep. Don't take this stuff. This was commanded not to do." And if he said, as king, if he would have said, "Do not do that," any man taking that is going to be cut off. Don't take any of this. This is what's supposed to happen. If he would have just done that and used his responsibility as a king to do that, but he didn't. Instead, he tried to shift the blame over onto them. So I ask you, did King Saul hear what he wanted to hear? What did he want to hear? Did Samuel congratulate him for doing mostly what God had commanded? No, Saul veered from the truth of God's command. He was the one responsible for what the people did. And that got me to thinking about something too. You remember when Jesus was on the earth, he clashed with the scribes and the Pharisees very much so. And why did he do that? He held them accountable for teaching the people false doctrines. He said their worship was empty and worthless. Look over in Matthew chapter 15, just real quick. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. So much faster to do this on a computer screen when you have everything. I know why a lot of people use electronics, because it's so much faster to find the things. But, you know, Bibles don't take batteries. That's a great thing. It'll always be there. All right, so Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. One more. I hate having to wear glasses. But in vain, Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus called them down everywhere that he went, teaching for doctrines. Remember, we just went through this about teaching that they had to their disciples. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, I work in some stuff, and I really should wash my hands before I eat, because it wouldn't be good. But that's a commandment of men. I never saw that in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt wash thy hands before you eat." No, that was a commandment of the, and it was a tradition of men, and they taught it as a commandment. So we see where that error can come in. It's not truth anymore. But their worship was empty, worthless. And we have the same today. We have the same people with the traditions that they say today. In Matthew 7 and 22, I added this after going over this. Matthew 7 and verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, you've heard this scripture, this verse, Jesus saying, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." How many people today that are preaching falsehoods and stuff are going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say this to them? He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. I didn't know you. You're teaching things that are not according to God's word." And they preach it in Jesus' name. But do we think that today we are doing God a favor by serving Him? Listen, we add nothing to God. We need to know that. What did Samuel say to Saul? He said, when you were little in your sight, God was using you. When you were little in your own sight. But when you became bigger in your own sight, that's when pride comes in and begins to do its work and sin. We add nothing to God. He does not need our service, and certainly not if it's done in an untruth. I'm going to put this out there. If you think that you are worshiping God and it is not in spirit and in truth, you are not worshiping God. If you think that you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and you're not in spirit and in truth, then you're not worshiping God. John 4:24 tells us that. I think we all know this scripture. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if you are trying to worship God and it's not the truth, you're not holding it truth, you're not worshiping God. Let's go back to 2 Samuel. Look at something else here. 2 Samuel. And chapter 11 and verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, now this is the next king of Israel, who was David, of course. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David should have been with the army there. He probably would have kept himself out of trouble. However, God allows things to work this way for his own reasons. We all know this story, David and Bathsheba. We know what David did. And we think about that. David was a Christian and he did this. He was guilty of many things, including murder. No, he didn't actually kill Uriah with the sword himself, but he pretty much did. He ordered it to happen. He was king. But in the next chapter, chapter 12, let's read that real quick, 1 through 10. I'll read it here. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat. That doesn't mean it ate meat. That means his own food. And drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. There came a traveler unto the rich man. Okay. Verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. Now there's another whole message about that, about David's four little lambs. David prophesied his own grief in those words right there. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. I can still see Brother France doing that. David, thou art the man. Thou art the man, David. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have more have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. So David tried his best to cover his sin and make it all okay. But what did David want to hear? Did he want to hear this? Remember, that's the subject here is, what do you want to hear? Did he want to hear that from Nathan? That was not something he wanted to hear. What did he want to hear? That it was okay, that he would not have to suffer the consequences of his sin? Do preachers today still preach against sin? That's a question. Do they? Who is on the Lord's side? I hope there still is preaching against sin today. The next king, as you know, what was it? Saul, David, Solomon. David's son, the wisest of all the kings of Israel. Wisest for a time, it would seem, a season. And this we'll find in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. We're only going to read a couple verses. We're not going to read the long version of this because it's just the point that we want to make. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4 says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old." Now we know the story of Solomon. He was a wise king. God allowed him to build the temple. He crowned Solomon with glory and with riches and with wisdom which he asked for. But what happened? What happened when he got old? "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Now let's skip down to verses 9, 10, and 11. It says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded..." Whoa, wait a minute. Let me go back to that. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Do you think that if you met the Lord twice, that you would soon forget that? I mean, even if you were old, would you forget that the Lord had appeared to you twice? I'm hoping he didn't have Alzheimer's like that or something, because that is something a man would never forget. "And had commanded him concerning," verse 10, "and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon," notice this, he did not send Nathan the prophet, he did not send Samuel, they were probably dead and gone, but God said this to Solomon himself. "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." So, the consequences, devastating. Did Solomon hear what he wanted to hear? No. What did he want to hear? He did not hear that it was okay to serve other gods, or even make it okay for his wives to do so. We know that the whole situation there was probably, it wasn't just cut and dried like that, like somebody dragged him off, okay, we're going to go serve these other gods. It wasn't like that. It probably took place gradually, and a little step here and a little step there. And would you build me a little altar here to this god or something? You know, you'd do that if you love me or something. I don't know. But it's not okay. He didn't hear that it was okay. He didn't hear that God would just let this slide. God punishes disobedience. So, what do you want to hear? Do your ears itch? Will you follow that which is not truth? Do you accept teachings that may be contrary to God's word? Maybe because you trust the man who teaches them. Or will you honestly dig into the word, find out if the things you hear are truth or just the ideas of man, the commandments of men? Do you want to hear the truth? Does your spirit long for the things of God? Do you love His word? Is it a delight to you? Come and hear the truth. That's all I have tonight.